We've been hearing a lot about microbeads lately. Not only are they killing fish and damaging our ecology, whether it's a facial or a body scrub or a toothpaste, these tiny plastic beads are apparently present everywhere, and it's due to our obsession with scrubbing ourselves. Joining us now is Dr. Greg Goodman. He's Associate Professor at Monash University and Chief of Surgery at the Skin and Cancer Foundation of Victoria. And he has a specific interest, of course, in the care of skin. Welcome to Life Matters, Greg.
Thank you very much.
The urge to exfoliate. Why do we want to scrub our skin?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I have no idea why people want to be squeaky clean, but it certainly seems to be something that's instilled in our psyche. And it relates not only to our teeth, obviously, where we kind of want to literally scrub them away. And if you ask any dentist, is it actually doing anything? It's probably not. In fact, most dentists will tell you that if you floss your teeth and just lightly brush them with anything, that's equivalent to scrubbing away. And on the skin surface, because we have such a delicate, very, very delicate barrier that's basically the same thickness as a piece of Glad wrap, that any scrubbing that we're doing is almost certainly removing some of that barrier function and making the skin less healthy rather than more healthy.
Mm. So while we're seeing that the major supermarket chains, Woolies, Coles, Aldi, are all vowing that they will, by 2017, stop selling products that contain microbeads. You're really saying we should never have been using them in the first place, and that there is potential for damage to be done if we do remove that layer.
Yep, you said it exactly correctly. I mean, it seems it's a bizarre conversation to be having, to say we need to put a healthy scrubbing, something like apricot kernels or sand or something, into these things instead of microbeads, when really we shouldn't be doing the thing at all in the first place. It's kind of the wrong way around, really. We've got to change. It's a bit like solariums. I mean, that's the dumbest idea you've ever heard in your whole life, yet it took legislation to stop people doing damage to themselves. And smoking is another example. Some people just do ridiculous stuff to themselves, and it's really, you've got to stop and think and say, well, why did this ever happen? There's no logical reason for it, and there is no logical reason for exfoliation, except incredibly rarely of certain skin conditions, but it's very rare.
I imagine that you're not saying that this is up there and comparable in the damage with smoking and solariums, but what is the damage?
Well, the damage is you make your skin less resistant to the things around us. For example, we have it's been said that there are more, I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but there are more bugs living on our skin and in our gut than actually cells in our body. And they live in a happy symbiosis with us. They live in a nice little community, and they keep away the nasty bugs on our skin. And, for example, the skin barrier function is absolutely crucial for removing chemicals from our skin surface that we might otherwise sit there and absorb and annoy our skin, things like pollutants and cigarette smoke and oils with dirt and grime and that sort of thing. So you have to have a correct skin barrier to allow that those chemicals and those bacteria, one, to be removed if necessary, and two, to allow the healthy bacteria a nice environment to live on our skin to prevent the nastier ones coming in. So it's not obviously a community issue. We're not going to end up in hospital because we're using microbeads in our skin, but it's going to make your skin incredibly worse, age more severely, be unhealthy, be more susceptible to eczema and acne. It just does a whole lot of stuff that you just don't need to have. And why would you impose that when you don't have to? You know, it's just the whole concept is flawed.
Mm. And what about, I mean, I'm assuming there is no difference in sun exposure. Does it make your skin more vulnerable to UV rays?
It probably does in a way. You know, if you scrub your skin, one of the minor ways that the skin adapts to chronic sun exposure is by producing thickening of the outer part of the skin called the stratum corneum. This is one of those ones that gives us about maybe an SPF of 2 naturally or something like that. And if you actually scrub that away, you do remove that, but you don't actually remove your innate ability to protect yourself from the colour point of view, but just that thickness does stop a little bit of sunshine just by more scattering of the sun's rays. But you're not doing more than that by exfoliating, but you're certainly making yourself more sensitive to things like sunscreens and maybe antioxidant creams and things like that are useful in sun protection. So from that point of view, it makes life a bit more difficult as well.
On Life Matters, we're talking with Professor Greg Goodman. He's a dermatologist and really quite strongly suggesting that exfoliation, which is very popular among both men and women at the moment, you can't walk past a makeup counter in a department store without seeing a range of different products. Every cosmetic line has their version of it. Greg, what about toners?
Well, they're very good for photocopy machines, I think, but I'm not so sure how much they've got to do with the skin. Toners is a complex thing, and I could talk another half an hour about toners, but toners, to a large degree, are a product that exists because you've got a poor cleanser. If your cleanser's up to the mark, it should be able to cleanse away all your grime and all that ingrained dirt and all the extra oils that you have without stripping or damaging your barrier function, and replace them with another covering of oils that are more friendly to your skin and clean. What toners do, and they go and remove all that good work that their cleanser's done. And if you get more dirt and grime, our people think that's a great thing because the toner's done that. Well, in effect, what it's meant is your cleanser's not good enough. So in my opinion, there are much better ways of cleansing the skin and not using toners. Toners are quite okay sometimes for really oily skin. People have got that, or really sun-damaged skin occasionally. But most times, toners are a bit of a waste of time.
Is there any way that we can help promote this natural, I think it's like a mantle, it sounds like, that you're talking about on our skin. Mm. Any way that we can enhance it, or what should we be doing?
Oh yeah, plenty of ways. I mean, a good first of all, protection obviously from sun and environmental things, because they do impact on how well the barrier function works. For example, the barrier function is only an end product. The barrier function is a dead layer, and it's made up of cells and little fat things called lipids that stick the cells together, and that is your barrier function. But the cells are actually dead; they're programmed death. A bit like this conversation for me, really. it's really just designed to slowly die, and as it dies, each cell falls off the skin. Now, if the sun damages the cells that are producing this lovely arrangement, so the sun gets in and damages the living cell layers on the bottom of this top layer of skin, then they won't coordinate properly and this barrier function won't work well. So the first thing is to prevent sun damage affecting those things. So it's obviously a sunblock. The other thing that's often useful is an antioxidant, which actually supplements a sunblock to prevent things like pollution and cigarette smoking, things like that affecting the skin. And then a moisturiser. Moisturisers now are very clever. You know, they're not like just slapping a bit of oil on your skin anymore. Now they mirror what's called the natural moisturising factor, which is inherent in people's skin, which is a natural substance that every barrier function has.
Does it matter how much you spend on them?
They have to be properly formulated, so in a way, to some extent, a little bit, but never to the extent of $500 for a moisturising jar. You know, you might have to pay more, so you get something called PCA or something, some kind of ingredient that actually mirrors what the skin actually does and is a beautiful moisturising system. But you won't have to pay a fortune. A lot of the low cost items in chemists and even supermarkets contain a lot of these nice moisturising chemicals. They're not overly expensive to produce, but just a little bit more than just a bit of olive oil.
Well, Greg Goodman, I can't imagine the faces of the patients you have when you tell them this news. That what's the responses?
Well, I don't have any patients anymore because they've all run out the door screaming because I'm telling them a terrible thing.
I'm surprised there aren't cosmetics companies out to get you as well.
Oh, there will be. They're probably lining up at the end of the school.
All right. Well, thank you for this. We'll put some details of what you've told us on the program page, so people can run through their cosmetic counters and see what they've got and what they shouldn't have. Thanks for talking with us.
Pleasure. Okay, thank you again.
That's Associate Professor Greg Goodman, Chief of Surgery at the Skin and Cancer Foundation in Victoria. So throw out the loafer, ditch the scrub. What do you reckon? Hardcore. Don't mind the idea that it could be a cheaper option, but I don't know if I could let go.